And welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Thursday, the 10th of February, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show. We are live on KJLL AM 1330, and we're always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. Live weekday mornings, 9 to 10, program re-airs 7 to 8 in the evening here on KJLL. The lineup, it's a good one today. We start off with a newsmaker interview. Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll is with me live in studio. Segment 2, we'll have the Chief Financial Officer of Tucson International Airport. We'll get an update on air travel in our community. Then, in the third segment, at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with the co-founders of a new organization in town. This would be a group that will focus on Tucson's many festivals that we have. Tucson Meet Yourself, the 4th Avenue Street Fair, those folks will be coming along. Plus, the Buckmaster Show historian Ken Scoville will join us. We'll be talking about this Saturday's Fort Lowell celebration. Now, the Buckmaster Show is primarily an interview-driven talk show, but of course, there is always room for listener comments and questions. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 529-3508. My producer, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt, would be happy to take your call. And we begin this morning with Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll. Supervisor Carroll, good to see you.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be here. Happy to be here.
I want to talk a little bit about the situation with road funds and Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry deciding to withhold about $80 million that were due for city road projects. Now, is this selfish on the county's part here to hold this money? So, I mean, RTA is supposed to be, everybody's supposed to be involved in this. Why is this happening with Mr. Huckleberry?
Well, it's a parochial position that's been taken by this county administrator. In fact, Bill, I only learned about it after reading about it in the paper, which is sad commentary on
the way
that
the county administrator. So you're saying you read about this in Sunday morning's
paper?
Yeah,
there was a battle over these funds. And you know, Mr. Huckleberry, I've immediately gone to see him, and I'm sure that I'll be meeting with the chairman of the board soon to discuss this, because there are projects in districts that are going to be relying on matching funds from the city of Tucson, and we know that the city of Tucson is in very hard times financially. So it's a chess game. I mean, to me, it's a standoff that's unnecessary. I think it could have been handled, I think, through diplomacy and talking to the city about doing legs of the project versus the entire, you know, complete road projects that are listed in the article. As you know, that they're going to be the Houghton Road expansion between I-10 and Tankerverde, and then the construction of the South Keno Parkway overpass on East 22nd Street. There's also some expansion on East Broadway that's long overdue. But when I discussed it with Mr. Huckleberry and with the chairman, that we had an initial meeting about this.
With Chairman Valadez.
Yes, and he's the county board chairman. He's been that for about a year, and he'll probably continue to be that for another year. Their concern is that the matching funds are not going to be due and payable, and the county will be stuck with the majority of, or the lion's share of, the cost on this and other projects. So I'm not just concerned about the ones that are in my district, Bill. I'm concerned about the entire RTA package, because we're accountable to those that voted in May 16th, 2006, I believe it was, to approve these RTA programs. And if you begin to say, well, the city is like going into business with your brother-in-law, you know, you're not going to get your full funding, you're going to get stiffed eventually, and you know, that's just not good politics, Bill. I think we need to sit down. I like Kozachik's quote. Steve Kozachik is a shining light when he comes up with such diplomatic and common sense answers to these types of stalemates.
What was his reaction?
Well, I mean, obviously, significant funding shortages are what the city is faced with in so many different departments. And, you know, he'd like to go back and discuss this to see if we can keep these projects alive by doing, as I say, that maybe the section line corner improvements on the county's nickel until we can get the straight line improvements done with city funding. He'd like to go back to the voters, and I say, We've already been to the voters, and this funding is available. Everybody knows the RTA was going to be filling in gaps from the 97 bond projects that were so over-promised and under-delivered. They were underfunded in the first place, but then the cost of right-of-way and other construction materials and engineering costs, changes, and there were so many, I think, scandalous problems with the 97 road bonds that the RTA was there to complete those. And gosh, it's important that Chuck realizes
they were there to kind of pick up the
they filled in the gaps of the 97 road bonds that were unavailable because of funding. So I think there's a real problem here. Chuck Huckleberry needs to sit down with James Glock. The supervisors need to sit down with the city council members, not just in the districts or the wards that these affect, but I think it's time for another joint meeting. We've had them before. This RTA and 97 road bonds and whatever future bond projects are going to be completed with RTA or city-county cooperation need to be hashed out, because we have a history that's building here to something that's going to be impassable in the very future if we don't get it together. So I'm working to do it. I don't think we need state intervention. I think we need to sit down ourselves and work this through.
Okay, it's 12 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330 and on buckmastershow.com. If you have a question for Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll, we'd be delighted to take it. 529-3508. Supervisor Carroll, new notices show that the home values keep sliding here in Pima County. What is the situation as far as the budget and perhaps keeping the tax rate as low as possible?
Well, I've heard from so many people across the county that it's about time that their values caught up with the marketplace. And so you've seen now a couple years in a row where values have dropped rather significantly in some areas of town, and only held steady in a couple. But most of it came down to about between a 15 and 30 percent drop in their values. So
that's
of
huge.
Course it affects
that's yeah, big time.
Thank the market nationally, and this is the new normal, Bill. I think you're going to find that the Board of Supervisors now has to decide whether they're going to cut expenses, cut jobs, cut costs of government, or offset those decreases in revenues due to the reduction in valuations by raising your taxes. And I don't think anybody's in the mood to see this body or any other government body raise taxes. In fact, you see across the country, governor by governor, state by state, are delivering these very difficult state of the state addresses, and they're saying we can't tax our way out of the problem. Even Jerry Brown in California is saying we're going to cut essential services, we're going to cut standard government funding for non-essential, we're going to freeze the cost of government, according to some other governors, and we're going to reduce the cost of government in the majority of the states. And now President Obama, in his State of the Nation address, has echoed the same sentiment, that he's going to try to freeze programs of domestic spending for years. He's going to freeze government employees' checks for years and try to dig our way out, not through taxation, but through reduction of cost. And also, as you've seen in the city of Tucson, Mr. Huckleberry is going to have to decide whether he's going to allow retirees to speed up that retirement process by taking the advantage of an early retirement, as the city has seen so many of their departments do, and then decide not by attrition to refill those seats, but to try to get the workforce to do more for less, which is a real coming solution across the nation. And I think we're going to have to decide which we're going to do. I'm going to be for the latter.
It's about 15 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330 and buckmastershow.com. You've been a huge opponent of the proposed Rosemont mine. Opponents of that mine filed suit on Monday, charging that the U.S. Forest Service violated federal law when it invited Rosemont copper officials to a series of meetings on the mine and not people of other views. What's your comment on that?
Well, the county is not involved in the lawsuit, as you well know. It's the Farmers Investment Company and two environmental groups that have joined hands.
Save the Scenic Santa Ritas and the Center for Biological Diversity, along with, as you mentioned, Farmers Investment Company, which operates pecan groves in Sahuarita.
You seldom see a farmer and the Center for Biological Diversity sit down together, but they've joined hands with the Scenic Santa Rita group, the Save the Scenic Santa Ritas, and I believe they have what seems to be a pretty open and shut case. Now, it's been sloughed off by the superintendent locally to the New Mexico office, and we'll see what the New Mexico office has to respond to the FOIA, which is a request for information from the federal government, from the Forest Service, about those meetings. So the reluctancy for full disclosure is disappointing. It's a federal agency. It's run by taxpayers. And I think the inappropriateness of having the non-disclosure early and the invitations that didn't go out to these groups that did go out to the Rosemont was certainly something that needed to be questioned, and we'll see how it works through the process. But right now, Bill, I'm thinking that most of the Tucson residents realize that this is about water. The entire mine project, when it comes to water, safety of that supply for the southeast area of Pima County and Green Valley, is of enough concern that people are beginning to root for opponents like this to be successful in some way of stopping that mine, and I can't blame them for that.
We had Mr. Huckleberry on our Friday roundtable, what we call Friday Focus, as you know, Supervisor Carroll. That's our regular Friday program, and where we bring in a newsmaker. I asked Mr. Huckleberry about the air quality permit. You and your colleagues on the board must still decide whether an air quality permit will be granted to the Rosemont Mine, and he did not know when that was going to come up. Do you have any kind of feeling on when that might come before the board?
Well, no. And one thing that you have to realize is that the county board members have never interfered with that air quality permit process. I know that there were some allegations that we had, but it's something that we don't interfere with. It's it would be a first. I've never heard of that type of interference that has been part of any process in the air quality permit area. And I think that it's important for all of us to know that there are good level scientists and bureaucrats in our Department of Environmental Quality that are going to deliver a science and fact-based recommendation about that in the very near future. When, I'm not sure, Bill, but I'm looking forward to hearing the results of their research and review.
We only have a couple of minutes left. It's coming up on 19 minutes past the hour. We're with Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll on the Buckmaster Show. There seems to be quite a few moves up at the state capitol this time around to kind of do oversight for city and counties, maybe take money away from cities and counties. Is this kind of a war that's starting to rage up there, Phoenix and the state capitol versus people at the county level like yourself?
Well, it's very obvious that the state of Arizona is financially strapped, and they're trying to release themselves from funding the counties and the cities as they usually and used to do and were mandated to do. So there are some moves going on that not only take away local control, but also take away the right of the communities down here to govern themselves. I don't like interference, as I just said, into a department like the environmental quality, and I sure don't like interference from the state legislature in Pima County business. There was a recent bill that was publicized about ousting local county administrators and city managers.
Yeah, Senator Frank Antonori is pushing an effort to let citizens recall appointed city and county managers.
That would have never gotten out of committee. That was a ploy, and I think that Frank and the other members of the state representative team from Southern Arizona should focus on solving the budget process, solving a budget to balance it, not on our backs, but to get busy fixing the state's funding issues and stop messing with all the counties, cities, and the social issues, Bill. Let's get back to business and get Ark State economically the engine that it could be, instead of being a state and a national discussion point on every social issue that goes into a committee. And I consider that to never get out of committee, most of them, and it's really
just
a waste
of our time. Just a publicity
stunt
in your
opinion. It's a ploy, similar to that recall bill.
Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll, always a pleasure. Thank you for a return visit to the Buckmaster Show. You were kind enough to be with us in our premiere week, and we are making progress.
Successful, and I'm grateful for your airtime every day. I do listen to the show when I can't hear it in the daytime. I pick it up at night, 7 p.m. on the Jolt.
That's it. Thank you so much, Ray Carroll. Let's find out what's going on at Tucson International Airport. That's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show.
Listen as the crowd would sing. Now the old king is dead, long live the king. One minute I held the key.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Coming up now on 25 minutes past the hour, this is the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster. Passenger traffic at Tucson International Airport increased every month during 2010, ending the year up nearly 3%. That is a sign that the worst effects of the economic downturn may indeed be behind us. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, Richard Grunsell, the chief financial officer. He is the CFO for the Tucson Airport Authority. Mr. Grunsell, good to talk with you.
Hello, Bill. Good to talk with you again.
So how do you summarize 2010? Are things indeed starting to look up, looking to the sky?
Yeah, definitely. Really, for the 2 years prior to 2010, we really were just seeing decreases, which was reflective of both the high price of oil as well as just the economic recession. And since February of 2010, each month since then, we've seen increases in passenger traffic compared to the previous year, and also some increases in capacity that the airlines have been adding to accommodate that increased traffic.
What's the latest on air service? Are we seeing some upticks in that area as well?
Yes, we are. Really, just in the last 6 to 9 months, we've seen several additions. Southwest Airlines just last month added an additional second nonstop flight to Chicago Midway. In summer last year, they Southwest also added a second nonstop to Denver. American Airlines in April coming up is going to be adding three nonstop daily flights to Los Angeles International. Frontier Airlines in January added Tucson's first nonstop service to Milwaukee, and that's going to operate on a seasonal basis one time a week through June. And U.S. Airways, just in the last couple of weeks, announced two additional nonstop daily flights to Phoenix, bringing the total number of flights that they have to Phoenix every day to 12. So, yeah, we've definitely seen the airlines, seeing some opportunity for additional service here in Tucson.
Mr. Grunzel, I think that American Airlines, I remember when that was announced last year, that really popped out at me as someone who follows kind of the airline industry. I think that's huge because out of Tucson, Americans pretty much been looking east. This is the first time in recent memory they're going to the west.
Yeah, that's true. American was the very first airline, passenger airline, that ever flew out of Tucson. And there's an extremely large following of very loyal customers with American. And this is really, I think, going to be nice for those people because now they'll be able to take American, as you said, not only east, but now to the West Coast, to Hawaii, to Asia, places like, connecting on, if not American, their partners to Hong Kong, those types of places. So in Japan. This is tremendous news for Tucson.
You know, I've often said, if you want better air service, and I hear people grumbling, why don't we have more nonstops? Well, support TIA. Fly out of Tucson. Don't worry about going up to Phoenix. And Inside Tucson Business posted the results of their third annual air fare survey and once again found there's a very small difference in the average price of a ticket from Tucson and Phoenix. It's about $18 when you look at the bottom line here.
That's right. And, really the days of there really being a significant fare advantage in Phoenix compared to Tucson are long gone. I mean, it has not been that way for many years. That's part of the challenge is getting that message out to Tucson. And, when you look at that figure, $18 average difference, and those are to the top destinations that are flown out of Tucson, what you have to also factor into that equation is by the time you factor in the extra cost of parking in Phoenix, for example, the cheapest economy parking in Phoenix is $9 a day. Here at the Tucson International lots, it's $4 a day. The cost of gas, the time and aggravation of driving on I-10, really in most cases, even with that slightly higher airfare, it really is even more economical to fly out of Tucson.
Dick Grunzel, we're going to have to run. What's that airport, the new airport website, new and improved? Give that for us.
FlyTucsonAirport.com, and it has lots of great information on it. We encourage everyone to check that out.
Okay, Dick Grunzel from TIA, thank you very much for joining us on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great day.
All right, thanks, Bill.
All right, coming up on 30 past the hour.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
Hello, you're on the air.
KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio Special Report, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak may be ready to step aside. Here's what CIA Director Leon Panetta told Congress.
There's a strong likelihood that Mubarak may step down this evening, which would be significant in terms of where the hopefully orderly transition in Egypt takes place.
The new Secretary General of Egypt's ruling party, Hossam Boudrari, says it appears the protesters got what they wanted.
There is no tactics about it. It's real. It's happening. And their requirements have been achieved. They won.
CNN's John King tells us what the White House is saying.
The administration says, number one, it needs to see it happen. It has had mixed and conflicting signals throughout this crisis. And number two, it says it's seeking what the source called clarifying information about the timetable and the mechanics of all this.
This is a special report from CNN Radio.
Ford Service presents Mike Rowe talking about getting things done
on your car.
on your car.
Yeah, right. Look, you take it to the hardworking Ford-trained service professionals at your dealership.
Get the works. An oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection. Now just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
Done?
Not yet. Ford service. Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating dealership or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 3/31/11.
Done?
Done.
Good news, ladies. Ugly brown spots on your skin might feel like they're the end of the world, but they're not. You can fade those brown spots from view with Dr. Perry's Night Skin Cream. New customers can try Night Skin Free. Diminish the appearance of brown spots on your face, neck, and hands. Try Night Skin Free. Call 1-800-509-4152. Pay only shipping and handling. One per household. Call for your free Night Skin. Call 1-800-509-4152. That's 1-800-509-4152.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Here, 34 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show. The heads of two of Tucson's biggest festivals have teamed up to form a new organization called FEST, F-E-S-T, which stands for Festivals and Events of Southern Arizona. We're delighted to have with us live in studio Mia Hansen. She's the executive director of Tucson Meet Yourself. And Kurt Tallis is with us. Kurt heads up the 4th Avenue Merchants Association. Let's hear the applause for Kurt and Maya. Welcome to the Buckmaster
Thank
Show,
you.
Both of you.
Good morning.
Maya, a little bit about this idea about FEST Southern Arizona.
Well, it's actually
typo. Did I screw it up?
Typo, okay. But that's okay. Festival and Events Association of Tucson and Southern Arizona, Bill.
Okay.
Because this is one of the most exciting and vibrant industries that we have here
so
in
So it's FEETS.
It's FEETS. There you have it.
FEETS AZ. And was this your idea or Kurt?
I think you got it all started.
Both me and I, it came about because I run the 4th Avenue Street Fair, and we had an issue. And all of a sudden, I realized that the issue was not only going to affect my event, it was going to affect all of our events. So I called the troops, made some phone calls, and found out we all had something in common, that event directors have the same problems, but have the same solutions, have answers. They tend to be doers. And lo and behold, there was a need, for a group to get together of community leaders that run events, for everything from a small event to, of course, a very large event. We all had the same porta potties, you know. We all had this. Got to move people around.
Yeah. Need ice. Yeah.
And sponsors.
It's
like all good ideas, it seems like, oh, you say, why didn't I think of that? I mean, you would have thought there would have been kind of an trade association for these wonderful festivals that we have, because Tucson really has some wonderful diversity, as you know, Mia Hansen with Tucson Meet Yourself. And what kind of lineups did you, I'm looking at the list actually right now, a sampling of the spring events alone in 2011. It's really astounding. I'm looking down here at the 30th annual Fort Lowell Day celebration. Ken Stovall will be joining us in about 10 minutes to talk about that. Mm-hmm. It seems like every weekend there is some kind of a
not
a
just
festival.
Something, but 10 somethings.
10 somethings.
Yeah, we want a couple of reasons for that, of course, our weather. You know, we have a long festival and event season in Arizona because of the weather. I mean, you think about it, in Chicago, they're not even going to dig out of the snow until mid-May, so they can't really have a long festival season. But here, we start in August now with Tucson's birthday month, and we go all the way through really year-round because of our weather. So we've got a great weather. We've got people who like to go to festivals and events. People in Tucson and Southern Arizona like to come out and be together. And I think that's a big portion of why people are attracted to these things. It's a growth industry. Last year, Tucson Meet Yourself doubled in size and attendance. We went up to almost 100,000 people that attended.
Really? That many?
Well, I think part of that is also the growth of the social media. And studies have shown that because we're talking to each other online. I mean, how many times you send an email and you finally meet the person and you go, oh, that's what you look like. You know, and so what's happening is people are wanting to look each other in the eye. There's nothing like looking at somebody in the eye. And following with that is sponsors. Sponsors want people to look their customer in the eye. There's nothing like a sale looking at somebody in the eye versus the internet. So we've seen a growth in our industry for a need. Times are tough. People are looking for an outlet. They want to feel good.
Kurt, let me ask you, as kind of heading up the Fourth Avenue Festival Street Fair, what kind of issues do you and Mia Hansen and these other groups here, all these events, what do you have in common other than you are staging events? What are some of the challenges that you all share that can be addressed by this association?
Well, everything from a permit process, to a food handling process, to logistics, barricades, porta potties, I mentioned that. All the things that go into an event, which is the logistics, they're all quite the same. And how do you solve those problems? I have 300,000 people come to our event. How do you manage 300,000 people versus maybe 15,000 people?
Or 1,000 people, or, you know, 600 who might be coming to just a local community event, which still requires the same permitting process, Pima County health permits. There's a meeting this afternoon to talk about fee increases. I know Supervisor Carroll was here earlier, and Pima County Health Department, of course, is having to recoup expenses.
Our fees keep going up, right. And we need a voice as to, are those reasonable fees? What are the fees going to? Because you have to remember what we deliver. We deliver culture. We deliver the arts. We deliver
happiness.
Community.
Yeah.
And without those things, really, what are we? A strip mall?
You know, is there going to be a kind of a, for the public, a one-stop shopping, perhaps a website for put all of this information, like you've got the whole list of the spring events, and just looking at this,
the ultimate calendar.
This is probably a partial list, right, but there's probably two dozen events there, and then there's
that's just this weekend, by the way.
Well, actually, there already is a
pretty great calendar, and that's one thing. The Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau, if you go to visittucson.org, they, of course, have a major events calendar, which is geared primarily towards visitors, but also for locals. They also have a community calendar where anybody can input a local event. Now, it's interesting that the MTCVB and TPAC, Tucson Pima Arts Council, last year really addressed this issue that had come up as part of the discussions that had been happening over the years with town halls to say, yeah, we need a place where everybody can go if you're from Chicago or from, you know, east side of Tucson to figure out what's happening this weekend. So we're figuring that out. We're trying to talk about, should we hold a calendar? What's the best place to list all these events? And of course,
should we partnership, you know, with the Daily Star? I mean, there's so many ways to
Tucson
do it.
Weekly.
But you're right. We could have the ultimate calendar because we are the event people.
Yeah, you're the event people.
That is one of our goals, for sure.
We're talking with Kurt Tallis. He heads up the 4th Avenue Merchants Association, and Mia Hansen is executive director of the Tucson Meet Yourself. It's coming up on 41 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show. What has the response been, Mia Hansen, from these groups that put on this, all these events? What are you hearing from
Well, them? Fantastic. First of all, every month we've had a little happy hour networking, very informal. We've had 30 to 40 different people at each of these events who head up major and minor events and who also supply to the events. So we invite everybody who is affected or is part of the industry. This month, for example, our next meeting will be down at the Tucson Rodeo Parade Museum. And we're highlighting the fact that the rodeo, one of our iconic events, is coming up. And, you know, the rodeo parade and the museum are also struggling with funding cuts from the city and all of that. But people are just thrilled to be able to come down and see what goes
on.
Or
find out how do they run the rodeo? What are their solutions to the problems that they've had? How can we help them? How can we help ourselves as an industry? And we see this as not only a benefit to the people that put on events, we see it as a benefit to the community. Because imagine if we all get on the same page. People are strange when they're strangers. You know, once you meet each other, you're not so strange.
And if we can find a way to make our events better, to make them healthier, safer, that's the whole goal here, is to make our events better, to have more of them, to get more people coming. People are already coming in droves. I mean, really, most events out there are seeing lots of people coming.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how has the economy impacted events here in town?
I think it's increased. Especially because we have so many low-cost or free events. You think about that. I notice that Chicago right now is dealing with Taste of Chicago, that iconic event. They've been losing $3 million a year because the city's been putting it on. It's been free. They wanted to go privatize it, but the first thing you want to do is charge $20 to get in. Of course, there's an uproar. So we're used to having people coming to these low-cost free events, and we're figuring out ways to keep putting them on.
And we're figuring out ways for small businesses to be sponsors. You know, it doesn't cost $50,000 to be a sponsor in an event. One of the things that we are looking at FEET is how can we combine events for a sponsor? If you sponsor something at Street Fair, why not be able to do at the same time Tucson Meet Yourself, the Fort Lowell Historical, and maybe two other events at the same time, one-time shop, and then you can measure your returns and see if it's worth it for you.
Now, FEET's AZ will be holding monthly networking meetings the third Wednesday of each month, and you're going to be using rotating locations?
Yeah, we've been rotating around. This month we'll be at the Rodeo Parade Museum, and March we'll be at the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau to hear how they're marketing events. So if people are interested right now, they can friend us on Facebook. And I friended you on Facebook,
you
I think,
did,
Bill.
You did, and we have a growing list of friends for the Buckmaster Show.
Fantastic.
Rose, our producer, aren't we up to over 250? We've got over 250 friends, and the show's only been on the air less than 6 weeks.
Oh, we'll get you a lot more.
Better friend up.
Better friend up.
So, in conclusion, here, it's a great idea. You're up and running, and how would you like the public respond to this?
Well, I'd like anybody that's running an event, check us out at our Facebook page, which is FEETS AZ. What is it, Mia?
Yeah, FEETS AZ.
FEETS AZ. That's FEETSAZ. Look us up on FEETS. And if you're a supplier, you're also welcome to come to the FEETS meetings because we're in this together. And you can also find information at Tucson Meet Yourself or the 4th Avenue websites.
You know, you brought up a good point, Kurt Tallis, about suppliers. This is really a great way for small businesses, whether they're selling hot dogs or whatever, they're really vending at events. This is a good little moneymaker, isn't
Absolutely.
It? Absolutely. When you look at this list of festivals that businesses can get involved with,
it's a huge industry here. Again, Bill, we maybe haven't brought out how many people are involved. You think of sign makers, graphic
designers. The
economic
impact of all these events really makes us the fabric of Tucson.
Yeah. Mia Hansen from Tucson Meet Yourself. Tucson Meet Yourself gearing up for another great
year. October 7th, 8th, and 9th, and our website is being revised as we speak. You bet you're going to have a great year again.
And you got a great-looking T-shirt
Tucson
Meet Yourself T-shirt. And Kurt Tallis, 4th Avenue Street Fair, when's the next one?
Yeah, it's the Spring Street Fair. It's April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Is that your biggest of the year?
It's a little bit larger than the December just because of the incredible weather. And we have some great music. Today, as a matter of fact, we got the Clydesdales on 4th Avenue. And then on the 20th of this month is Ford's on 4th. It's a Ford car show
cool.
on 4th Avenue. So we're always something to do on 4th Avenue. Come on down to the heart of the city.
Well, good luck with FEETS AZ, the festival group that's up and running. Mia and Kurt, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Thanks for having us, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator, artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website, sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Are you up for the challenge? It's the third annual Boot Camp Challenge, March 19th. Join Olympic athletes, local armed forces, and celebrities as we laugh, climb, crawl, walk, run, and work out boot camp style through a 5K run-walk obstacle course. To sign up as an individual or a team, go to beatcancerbootcamp.com or call 546-1601 for the Cancer Boot Camp Challenge, 7:30 Saturday morning, March 19th at Brandy Fenton Park. For strength, for health, for life, for fun.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Coming up on 49 minutes past the hour, and we have had a busy day on the Buckmaster Show. Saturday is a big day in the old Fort Lowell neighborhood, as the people living in that neighborhood stage the 30th annual celebration of Fort Lowell's historic sites. One of the highlights of the celebration, which gets underway at noon and runs until 4 in the afternoon, features a walking tour which travels from Fort Lowell Park westward along Fort Lowell Road to the San Pedro Chapel through the historic neighborhood known as El Fuerte. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is our contributor on local history, Ken Scoville, a native Arizona who has been a teacher in Tucson for many years and written extensively about Tucson's history. Mr. Scoville, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Good morning, Bill.
This is really a big deal this year, isn't it, with the 30th annual?
Oh, it's really exciting for me because I've been involved with the Fort Lowell neighborhood for 25 years almost. And it's a really good look for people to really understand not only Tucson, but Arizona. And I like to sort of say, ask the question, why is Tucson or why is Arizona the place it is today? And it really goes down to a couple of things. First of all, we're always defined by our physical features. If you ask anybody around the world, if you told them to mention the state of Arizona, they'd think the Grand Canyon. And if you're in Tucson, you think the Catalina Mountains. And we can sort of think Fort Lowell and all the different people that have inhabited there because of the snowmelt runoff off the Catalina Mountains and also the confluence of the Pantano and the Tinka Verde Creek forming the Rito River.
So Fort Lowell, in many ways, is a microcosm of kind of Arizona's history, isn't it?
Sure. All the different cultural layers that really represent Arizona are here in Tucson. When this was very, very prehistoric groups, the Hohokam, there are Hohokam sites in Fort Lowell. Then all native peoples have used the water courses along the same corridors that we enjoy today. This has been part of Spain. I'm sure Father Kino rode horseback along the Rito, so he was really close in the Fort Lowell area, to when this was Mexico and then territorial times. I think it's a lot more than just the fort.
We're talking with Ken Scoville. He is the Buckmaster Show historian. Fort Lowell, I love that park. I love to just walk around that area. Why did Fort Lowell wind up in that particular location, Ken?
Okay, well, I think people need to know. It used to be Camp Lowell back in the early 1860s downtown, which was called the Military Plaza, where the Carnegie Library Children's Museum. In 1873, they move out there, partly because they were shooting up the town a little bit too much. And they said, we still want your protection and your military support and the economics, but move a little farther out. And it was really the water. And in fact, if you look at the early Fort Lowell Military Reservation, not only did they want to make sure they got the confluences of those stream beds, but also they went up into Sabino Canyon. So they got the watershed from Sabino Canyon also.
Was it an important fort for the United States?
Fort Lowell was mainly a supply depot. Soldiers would train there, but all the supplies coming in up the Gulf of California to Yuma and then on wagon mule trains and horse-drawn trains coming into Tucson. And one of the main buildings that people should really look at, the commissary building this Saturday, which is on the corner of Fort Lowell and Craycroft, that's where all the supply teams would come in. And there's a root cellar, a huge root cellar in the back area. And you can still see it today that was lined with stone and they would cover it up. And that's where a lot of the supplies were there before they went to Fort Bowie and all the other forts in the southern Arizona.
And folks who have driven by that area would be heading north on Fort Lowell, to your left would be some ruins that have been kind of closed off now that are going to be restored. Is that
right?
Correct?
That property that was on private property was the Atkins property. They actually had a steel manufacturing company there for maybe 40 years. And through a lot of different negotiations, this is finally in public hands. And the last three official officers' structures from the officers' quarters of the 1870s are still in existence there. The one closest to Craycroft Road is in the process of being restored. I've been around it and seen it quite, and it's very authentic. It's still there, and it's amazing to me. It's one of the most historically significant buildings for military history in Arizona.
Will it be a difficult task to restore those buildings?
Well, the one closest to Craycroft is going to have a complete restoration, and it's pretty solid given that it's 140 years old out of adobe, pretty good shape. The other two are going to be interpreted as ruins.
The areas that are not covered out at Fort Lowell, they're really degrading very quickly, aren't they?
Pretty much.
Yeah, the old kind of adobe that you see, just a little bit of foundation left.
Right.
But those were not apparently as significant, so the decision was made not to cover those areas.
And when you say cover,
put something over the top. Yeah.
Well, the preservation of Fort Lowell has been a struggle. And in 1891, when the fort was closed, much to everybody's chagrin, that everything was stripped out of it except the adobe walls. So over the decades, things eroded away. The hospital ruins, which everybody can still see on Cottonwood Lane, but those three buildings on the west side, the other ruins that you see, they've been sort of stabilized and they've been sloped so that the water would drain away from it. But the long-term master plan is to get ramadas and covers over most all the other ruins.
That's going to be a fun day, isn't it, out there?
Oh, it's just be wonderful. And great weather.
And there will be music and there will be food.
Right. And I think a great treat is the sort of the military concert band playing music of the 1870s and 80s. And it gives you a connection to when all the people used to ride on wagons coming out from Tucson to concerts back in the 1880s.
How about the San Pedro Chapel? Tell us a little bit about
that. The San Pedro Chapel, it's really the focal point for Fort Lowell and the neighborhood. And that building's been safe for quite a few years. In fact, the last owners waited to make sure the neighborhood could raise the funds to get it together to purchase. And it's where that's one of the major stops people should go to. It's where you can get tickets, walking guides, books, all kinds of information. It's on a wonderful little hill.
And for those that perhaps don't want to do a lot of walking, you can get a ride back to your car.
Right. There, from the park to the San Pedro Chapel, there is a shuttle.
It's going to be a fun day. Now, we have a very important day coming up in Arizona. The Statehood Day is coming up, Valentine's Day.
Yes, it's always been
Valentine's. And we're hitting that 99 mark. That means we're getting into that centennial year coming up.
Yes. In fact, I just went to a luncheon at the Arizona Inn about a week ago. There finally is, and I've been keeping my fingers crossed, there is a centennial committee, and we are going to have events and promotions throughout the year coming up. And it's nice that you can understand a lot of the history of Arizona by just going over to Fort Lowell Park and celebrating the events on Saturday.
Can you give us a little idea about the Centennial Committee, some of the things that are being talked about?
Well, they want to have celebration statewide. So every community is going to have their own events, but they're going to have major interpretive centers, new construction, rehabilitation of historic properties in Phoenix and around the state so people can really celebrate our history.
You know, at the time of statehood back in 1912, Arizona really wanted to be, I think, one of the most progressive of all the United States. Some would say it is now one of the least progressive.
I think that's sort of an interesting look at human drama. 100 years ago, we were concerned about the United States turning to socialism. So we decided to have more direct democracy. That's why we have initiative, referendum, and recall in this state. And now it seems like, and then conservation of natural resources, and most people don't realize, also a federal income tax. Yeah. Now we've decided we're concerned about socialism again today, but we seem to want to have less government. So it's history is about human dramas, and it's also about learning what's gone on in the past so we can do better in the future.
You know, you talked at the beginning of our interview today about what you call kind of the factors that have influenced the way we have wound up here, and you talked about the diverse cultural layers, and as you know, earlier in our program here, earlier in the half hour, we're talking about the diversity of the festivals in Tucson, and when Mia Hansen of Tucson Meet Yourself presented me with this list, I knew there were a lot of festivals in this community, but we really have a very diverse community.
And that's one of the great things that I certainly enjoy about Tucson, and because I'm so interested in the history, I have trouble figuring out how I can get to every event. So I have to pick and choose what I'm going to go to.
Yeah. So again, getting back to the Fort Lowell celebration, this is a free event?
Free event from noon to 4 o'clock. Concerts, music, you can explore places you couldn't explore any other time. There's going to be another Adobe Residence open that hasn't been opened, I think, in 20 years. And it'll be a great way to start the kickoff for the celebration of Arizona's centennial statehood.
When the park, when Fort Lowell was established, it really was out away from town, wasn't
it? Right, it was about 7 miles. So it was sort of an exotic day trip from downtown Tucson, we think of Stone and Congress Street to go out, but they always went out for concerts. It was the place where we had the only real hospital. So probably not the most enjoyable adventure to be riding out in a buggy flat on your back going out to Fort Lowell Hospital and hoping you'll be able to go back to Tucson.
So the Fort Lowell Park, hopefully those new sites that Pima County will have, those up and running. I think the plan is that the first stage of preservation is just about ready to get underway, but they hope to have the whole program ready by 2012.
Well, right. Tie it in with the centennial. And I know even this Saturday, you'll be able to go over and see interpretive areas within that to show you what they're planning for the next year.
Well, we'll be talking to you every month on the Buckmaster Show. And perhaps as you learn more information about the centennial, we want to keep folks abreast of activities that are coming up so we can keep on top of that.
I'll be happy to. Thanks,
okay,
Bill.
Thanks. Ken Scoville is the Buckmaster Show historian talking about the old Fort Lowell Day celebration that's coming up. We have had a jam-packed program here on the Buckmaster Show today. Hope you've learned something. I certainly have, and I am delighted with the listeners that continue to find us. This is Bill Buckmaster at KJLL AM 1330 and always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. Have a great day.
Let's do it.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
It's strange and wonderful.
You have a firm grasp of the obvious.
KJLL, South Tucson.